In our Sunday school class, 1 year ago, we started a study on called Midnight Bible Stories. It's hard to believe it's been a year since we started this, but time gets moving. And we're working our way towards a Midnight Bible Story that's found in the 12th chapter of Acts, but we're currently in the 10th chapter. And we've been reviewing the life of Peter because the Midnight Bible Story in Acts 12 revolves around Peter. And Peter had a lot of growing up to do, as we all do. And we watch him grow up in Scripture from the time that he was first introduced to us when Jesus was just beginning his ministry until we get to that 12th chapter. Now, in the 10th chapter, where we've been studying, we find introduced a Gentile man named Cornelius, an Italian centurion, and most likely he was assigned to the guard of the Roman governor, which would be probably the same guy that had him arrested in the 12th chapter of Acts. Who was that guy, do you remember? Herod the king. And so they had governors and they had kings and stuff that were all part of that Roman Empire. And so, at any rate, in the 10th chapter of Acts, Cornelius, if you recall, he had a vision, and Peter also had one, and they ended up coming together at the house of Cornelius because of their two visions. The Lord wanted them to be there. Cornelius had no idea who Peter was. Peter had no idea who Cornelius was. And Peter, when he gets to the house, he asks him, "Why did you call me here?" And so he tells him that the Lord, it was the Lord's doing. And we want to hear some words from you, what he's given you to speak. And he says in Acts 10:33, immediately, Cornelius speaking to Peter, "I sent to thee that thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Now Cornelius had invited his family and his friends and all in his house. And when Peter went into the house, there they were. And Peter had to be convinced strongly by the Lord that he should even go there because Cornelius was a Gentile. Now, we've got to the point where he finished his preaching there in verse 43. He didn't think he was finished. He was just getting warmed up. But what happened, you read in verse 44 of Acts 10, "And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." This whole house of Gentiles there in Cornelius' house. "And they of the circumcision," that would be the Jews that were with Peter, there were six other guys with him, "which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because," note this part, "on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." How do they know that? "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And so, for the first time, Gentiles were filled with the Holy Ghost. And perplexing situation for everybody there. And so last week when we finished, we had shown from scriptures in Acts 19:2 that the Holy Ghost is a gift given forever to those who receive this gift, and it is a gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost is something to be received after one has become a believer. It doesn't happen at the same time simultaneously, as we, most of us, very well know. Now, there are those that get saved and then later that day get filled with the Holy Ghost. That happens. It has happened. But I want to take our discussion about the Holy Ghost a little further, and we're going to say some things here today that'll get you thinking, if nothing else. And we're going to talk about some more acts of the Holy Ghost. Remember last week we said that the book of the Acts, it's called the Acts of the Apostles, really should be called the Acts of the Holy Ghost, because that's what's amplified and brought forth. But it didn't quit at the last verse of the last chapter of Acts. The Acts of the Holy Ghost continue on today and have continued on even in your life and in my life. the Acts of the Holy Ghost are divine. The Acts of the Holy Ghost are sovereign. They're power-packed. And always the Acts of the Holy Ghost glorify God. Now, in Luke 24:49, the Lord Jesus Christ himself had told his disciples after his resurrection, but this was before the day of Pentecost, in Luke 24:49, Jesus says to them, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high." That was a reference to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And that power from on high, they were endued with on the day of Pentecost. And Jesus, again in Acts 1:8, just before his ascension into heaven, told him again in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." What is the purpose of receiving Holy Ghost guided power? When Kevin preached this in prison, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Well, some of the guys wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost right away. They needed this power so they could escape prison. Well, that wasn't what it's for. And Kevin had to explain it. Am I telling the truth there, Kevin? Yeah. So, but the purpose of receiving the Holy Ghost, what is the purpose of receiving the Holy Ghost in his guiding power? Well, the purpose is so that they could glorify and magnify God in their witness and their testimony of him as he guided their lives. We're going to talk about this a little bit more this morning. We have evidence that he was a witness and gave him the power there in Acts 2. Let's go to Acts 2. And we'll start in verse 1. You've read this before many times, I'm sure. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And those that were in one accord in this one place were all believers. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began, this means they were the first to do something, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How do we know that they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Because they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was the sign and the evidence that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. Can you imagine? Well, never mind. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that they heard every man, that every man heard them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Perga and Pamphylia and Egypt, in the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So when those that were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak for the first time in other languages, in other tongues, what were they speaking about? And the answer is the wonderful works of God. The Holy Ghost, through their tongue, was magnifying God. And back in Mark 16:17, Jesus himself had told his disciples about speaking in new tongues, but they probably blew it off, just like they blew off about everything else he said. Too much for them to take in. But in Mark 16:17, Jesus told his disciples, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils and shall speak with new tongues. Now, all of these things that we just discussed, Peter knew when he was at the house of Cornelius. Obviously, he knew it. But Peter, he didn't know everything. How many of you here know everything? Raise your hand. Nobody raises your hand, because we're still learning things, aren't we? We're still growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, Peter still had some things to learn as he himself grew in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was about to learn a great lifetime lesson about the Holy Ghost here in the house of Cornelius in Acts 10. Now, he'd already preached the sermon. We went over this morning in verses 34 through 43 of Acts 10. But in his mind, he wasn't yet done preaching. Probably he hadn't even got a good start on it, you know. And no one, not one person in that whole house was prepared for what happened next. It says in Acts 10:44, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, just like it happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, we're told here in verse 45 that the Jews who came with Peter were astonished, but the Gentiles in Cornelius' house must have also been astounded. And as the Holy Ghost fell on them who heard Peter preach, what was Peter's sermon about? Was it about the Holy Ghost? Go back and read it. He barely makes mention of the Holy Ghost. He had told them this much, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And that was back in, verse 38. But these Gentiles in Cornelius's house had no idea what had happened to them. And as yet, they knew not that it was the gift of the Holy Ghost who was poured upon them. But Peter and the six other Jews that were with him knew what had happened unto them, and were now themselves convinced that God indeed had accepted Gentiles and had given them the very same gift of the Holy Ghost that was given to them some years earlier on the day of Pentecost back in Acts 2. Note what it was that convinced Peter and his associates that these Gentiles had also received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it's told us in Acts 10:46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, how long this outburst of speaking in tongues and magnifying God lasted, we are not told. I suspect there was a considerable time there. I've been in a service like that myself when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. That was at a camp meeting when I was, I think, 16 or 17 years old back in Oklahoma. And they said, well, will brother so-and-so come up to speak? And as he's coming up, let's just praise the Lord. Well, the praise the Lord got out of control. It didn't stop for an hour. And by the end of that, some 50 of us had got filled with the Holy Ghost. And Brother Hines claims he was one of them in that meeting that was filled that night. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I know I was. And the guy never did preach. I mean, we took all his time. The Holy Ghost had his way that night. That was on a Wednesday night. And I finally got to sleep about Friday. Yeah, I'll tell you. So I don't know how these people in Cornelius' house did it. But there was probably several minutes of speaking in tongues by this group and magnifying God. And then after several minutes, Peter continued speaking in verse 47 and said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So finally, they knew that they had received the Holy Ghost, whom they knew nothing about. Is that impossible? No. And we'll talk about that. So with this question, those Gentiles in Cornelius' house had learned what had happened to them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and had just spoken in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, just like it was on the day of Pentecost. How many of you know Jerry Tabor? Most of us, right? Jerry Tabor got filled with the Holy Ghost on a tractor back in Kansas when he was barely a teenager, if that old. And he was driving the tractor, I think plowing a field, thinking about the Lord, praising the Lord, and all of a sudden it hit him. And he began to speak with other tongues, but at that time he had not a clue what happened to him. Didn't know. And I called him the other day, and I asked him to go over that with me one more time, because I got a good forgetter, just like most of us do, and I wanted him to refresh my memory. And he said he didn't know what had happened to him that day. He didn't know it for about 10 years. And the Lord's got a great sense of humor. And so does Jerry, but, you know, he does things like that for us so we can get a good laugh later on down in life. But about 10 years later, Jerry was in his early 20s. He went to a Christian businessmen's fellowship meeting of some kind. And to open this meeting, they began in prayer. And Jerry said he raised his hands in worship. And the very same thing happened to him when he was on the tractor some 10 years earlier. And he began to speak in tongues again. And he told me that the Lord just like blocked his ears from hearing anything else. And when he was finally finished, they were all looking at him like, what? No, you know. And the man that brought him to the Christian businessmen's fellowship meeting, he was from an Assembly of God, so he knew what was going on. And he explained to Jerry that he'd received the Holy Ghost. And Jerry says it was about less than a month that he started coming to Living Waters. He told me that if he would have known what had happened to him with his analytical mind, he probably wouldn't have got filled for years trying to reason it out and analyze everything. And so he said he told me over the phone that he thanked the Lord that he had it done that way. Now, go back, and Kevin, you can verify this too, I think. But we think of the latter rain of sometimes of the Holy Spirit coming in Azusa Street there in California. But I kind of have a feeling that there were during the 19 centuries before that those who got filled with the Holy Ghost that didn't know that much about it, just like Jerry didn't, you see. Because it's the Lord's business, not our business. But we're thankful for the movement of the Holy Ghost in the last 120-some years, you know, and that Brother Copley received the Holy Ghost. But I think that really got started in Topeka, Kansas. For those of you that are from Kansas back there, you know more about it than I do, probably. Now, compared to what happened to Jerry, to those in Cornelius's house, they didn't have to wait 10 years to find out what happened to them because Peter explained it to them, as we noted in verse 37. Now, I know probably most of you have read and studied the story of Peter going to Cornelius's house many times, but have you ever considered the bigger picture? And wondered why the gift of the Holy Ghost was given to all of the Gentiles who were at Cornelius' house the day Peter preached unto them. What was the purpose? If you thought about it, what was the purpose? Well, there's at least two huge main answers to this question. And in reality, there's as many answers to this question as there were people present at that assembly. And I've kind of thought about this quite a bit the last couple, 3 weeks. And why was the Holy Ghost given to the Gentile believers in Cornelius' house in such a profound and magnificent manner as he was that day? And then I'll give you some answers. And I'm going to give you answers from two perspectives minimum. And there's the perspective of the Jews who were presently in this assembly at Cornelius's house. And then there's the perspective of the Gentiles who were filled with the Holy Ghost at Cornelius's house. The Jews knew about the Holy Ghost, the Gentiles didn't. And the bigger picture concerns the purpose of the Holy Ghost being sent unto those believing Gentiles in the house of Cornelius in the first place. A few weeks ago, we referenced a scripture found in Isaiah 46:10, which tells us that the Lord knows and declares the end from the beginning. Why did Jerry get filled on a tractor and not know what happened to him for some 10 years? And even up to now, you know, Jerry is thankful for that. But the Lord knows the end from the beginning and what Jerry would be able to intake and digest because spiritually, because of the Holy Ghost in his life. And so we don't want to miss the big picture of what was taking place here in Cornelius's house. The Holy Ghost is given as a gift to those who receive him for a far greater reason than just speaking in tongues. That's just the start. And that speaking in tongues is a sign and an evidence that one has received the gift of the Holy Ghost since being saved. And you can go back and review, and we'll do this later on, probably won't have time today, but Jesus explained to his disciples the purpose and the function of the Holy Ghost in John 14, 15, and 16. And the short version is, without reading all those verses, is that the Holy Ghost is given to us as a comforter, a guide into all truth, a teacher of all truth, a witness of all truth, and as Paul's 100 chapters of gospel teaches us, the Holy Ghost is the agency of the Trinity that prepares the bride of Christ to be the bride of Christ, the wife who has made herself ready in Revelation 19:7. The wife that has made herself ready is yielded to the wonder-working power of the Holy Ghost in her life. So the purpose of receiving the Holy Ghost is to fully prepare us for an eternal end result, which may be years down the road from the day we receive this gift. The day we receive the Holy Ghost, we can't say, okay, Lord, come get me, I'm ready, take me home. But he might, you know. So back to this event when the Holy Ghost for the first time fell on the Gentiles who were present in the house of Cornelius while Peter preached unto them. From the Jewish perspective, this event convinced the Jews that God indeed was no respecter of persons, and half of the chapter of Acts 11 further explains this event and concludes with this thought found in Acts 11:18, which reads, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life," eternal life. In other words, the Gentiles receiving the Holy Ghost at Cornelius' house underlined and highlighted the fact to the Jews that God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now, go down the road and turn to Acts 15. You go down the road about 10, 11 years. This very same point was the center and the focus of attention in Acts 15 when there was a great conference in Jerusalem concerning the point whether or not it was necessary for Gentiles to be circumcised or not in order to be saved. Paul and Barnabas were present in this assembly. They had just completed a missionary journey. And let's read a few verses in Acts 15, starting in verse 7. "And when there had been much disputing over this discussion, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." This was a reference to Peter's visit to the house of Cornelius there in Acts 10. "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the gift, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." So Peter pondered this for 10 years, you know. Now you can study the rest of the events of Acts 15 further on your own. I want to next consider the Gentile perspective to those filled with the Holy Ghost at the house of Cornelius and Caesarea in Acts 10. What became of them? What became of those guys? Those people that were filled with the Holy Ghost in Cornelius' house? Was that it? That wasn't the purpose, was it? Are we told any more about them in Scripture? Well, let's look. Remember the end from the beginning statement we noted earlier in Isaiah 46:10? Those that were filled with the Holy Ghost in the house of Cornelius all lived in Caesarea. And we're told quite a few things about Caesarea in Scripture. In Acts 8:40, we find that Philip, one of the seven chosen with Stephen back in Acts 6, we find in Acts 8:40 that he was now residing in Caesarea. You go ahead to Acts 21:8, and you find Philip, who is now called the evangelist, he's still residing in Caesarea. And that's about 18 years after the time frame of Acts 10, where those Gentiles were filled with the Holy Ghost in Cornelius' house. So let's ask a question. How many of the Gentiles that were filled with the Holy Ghost at the house of Cornelius came to know Philip during these 18 or so years? How big a town was Caesarea? Wasn't that big. One time when we were first married 45 years ago, this week on Friday, just so you know that I remember, and that same year we took a trip up to Minnesota, and guess what? Sue and Pam Haynes were visiting a woman in a bowling alley. We were doing some bowling, and this gal had heard of Living Waters Tabernacle clear up there in Duluth, Minnesota. She'd never been there, but she'd heard of it. Small world, isn't it? Small world, isn't it? If you live in Caesarea, pretty soon you know about everything goes on with everybody in Caesarea. You think you, a Gentile, would know a Jew named Philip the Evangelist? Well, Philip the Evangelist could have very well taught these Holy Ghost-filled Gentiles the gospel message, couldn't he have? And perhaps he did. In Acts 21:8, again, we find our Apostle Paul staying with Philip the Evangelist in Caesarea at the conclusion of his third missionary journey before continuing on to Jerusalem. In Acts 21:15 and 16, we read this, "And after those days, we," and that's Luke writing, "took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem, and there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea." Who were these certain of the disciples of Caesarea? Do we have any clues in Scripture? Well, maybe some of them were the Gentiles that were filled, some of the Gentiles that were filled in the house of Cornelius. And we don't know for a fact, but I wouldn't bet against it. And so we have to wait till we get to heaven to find out who these people were. Paul got arrested in Jerusalem a few days later, and within a couple of weeks, he's back in Caesarea, where the governor, who was Felix, holds him prisoner. Go to Acts 24 for a second. And Paul ends up being a prisoner in Caesarea for 2 years. And note what Governor Felix said to Paul in Acts 24:22-23, "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, 'When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter.' And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty," not that he should be free, but he should have enough liberty that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. Well, who was this centurion that was now in charge of Paul? Was it Cornelius? Probably not. But I bet he knew Cornelius. And he could have been, think about it, one of the guys that was in the house of Cornelius when they all got filled with the Holy Ghost, when Peter was there. Could have been. He could have worked his way through the ranks. But we can't answer that question for sure either, can we? And in Acts 24:23, the governor allowed Paul to have his acquaintance come visit him. Well, how about Philip the evangelist? He was a guy that could come visit Paul, wasn't he? Do you think he did? I think he did. Who learned the most? Philip the evangelist learned Paul's gospel, probably from the mouth of Paul himself. If he did, he could be a bridal saint. The disciples that traveled with Paul from Caesarea to Jerusalem were some other people who fit this very same category, and we all already mentioned we don't know who they were, but they could have, it's a small world, been these same people. And the forward-looking Holy Ghost who knows the end from the beginning, no doubt had some of the Gentiles who were filled with the Holy Ghost at the house of Cornelius come visit Paul during the 2 years he was in prison at Caesarea. And if this is true, and I in my own mind think it's got to be the case, they got to hear from the mouth of Paul his gospel message, which would have included lessons about the bride of Christ. Does that give you enough to think about for 1 week? Huh? Because the bell's about to ring. And I don't want to get into the next part of this. But there's no accidents with the Lord. And there was a purpose for them receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost at the house of Cornelius.